Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Vegas. This is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas, and you're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast this morning. Thanks so much for tuning in. I hope that those of you who missed out last week on 9:20 a.m. because of the football game that was broadcast way early over there in London, that you'll have the opportunity to go on our website and catch that broadcast from last week. We're not going to air it again because it did air on 92.3, and so we don't want to redo it on that station. But we're so glad that you tune in on Sunday morning at 7 o'clock in the morning to listen to this broadcast. We've been going through the letter that James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote to God's people, and we've been considering verse 21 for a few weeks now, where James says, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." I think we've pretty much established that getting rid of moral filth and shunning evil and turning away from evil should just be normal things that should be expected in a Christian's life. Now, sure, we're going to struggle with the flesh. The temptations of the flesh don't go away. There may be times where we give in to our flesh, but the whole direction of our life, for the most part, should be to seek first God and to seek first His kingdom and to let His word be the foundation for our life. Both Jesus Christ, of course, and the Word of God, the Scriptures themselves that give us such wisdom and revelation from God. I was teaching the church on this last Sunday how important it is for us to go to the Scripture to strive to understand the things that God has given us. Now, some people start saying, well, that's just your interpretation. It's just your interpretation. No, it's what the Word of God says. And how we understand it may be different, but that's our problem, not the Scripture's problem. And so it's very important that we not only strive to understand what the Scripture says, but how we should apply it. And that's very important for each person, each congregation, to be able to come to conclusions on those things and be as consistent as they can be in living the kind of life that God wants us to live. He certainly doesn't want us to be conformed to the pattern of this world. He wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that, of course, comes from hearing the gospel, first of all. And then if we choose to be receptive to that, then we open ourselves up to allow God to give us a new life. And so that's why it's not just about getting rid of evil. Sometimes people think, oh, well, if I could just quit my smoking, or if I could just quit being addicted to sex, or if I could quit this bad habit I have, or if I would just stop getting so angry all the time, or whatever it is that may be something in your life that you're struggling with, that you realize it's not just getting rid of the moral filth. Those are all good things, but that's not going to save you. Okay? We need God to give us a new life because we've sinned, And because we deserve death, the wages of sin is death, we need God to give us a new life. And so that's where accepting the word planted in you humbly, that's what can save us. And that's the power of the gospel. That's the message of the gospel. If we will in humility accept the fact that we're as good as dead because of our sins. There's no life in us because of our sin. And yet, when we will humbly respond to the good news about Jesus, then God can raise us up, take care of our sin, and give us a new life in Christ Jesus. And then, of course, that life should be characterized by living in a way that pleases God and not in a way that brings about his wrath. And so, like I said, it's important to get rid of the moral filth and to struggle with it, and to shun it, to resist it, tell it to take a hike, just wrestle in keeping yourself controlled when it comes to the things of the flesh. But yet at the same time, realize the only way we're going to be able to do that is through the Word of God, through the power of God's Spirit in our life, and through the salvation that God grants us, gives us, raises us up to walk in newness of life. So let's listen to our first song this morning before we get into this some more. Let's listen to Matthew Redman sing, "Blessed Be Your Name." And I hope you realize this morning what an awesome God we have, and what a wonderful blessing it is to know him as our Father, and that he is a good God, and that he takes care of us, and that we don't have to be under his wrath and condemnation anymore, but we can be under his grace, and we can be under his approval. And so let's listen to Matt Redman sing, "Blessed Be the Name."
Blessed be.
A great song by Matt Redman, Blessed Be Your Name. And again, I hope that you bless and thank and are grateful to God for all that He has done in your life, all that He's doing right now in your life, and all that He will do for you in the future. We need to have that kind of an attitude. And speaking of attitude, let's talk about this whole matter of getting rid of the moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accepting in the word planted in us, which can save us. You see, this all starts with kind of a general overall attitude. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Peter writes, and he says, Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have a sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever, and this is the word that was preached to you. So, you know, Peter says, now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. Well, yes, we need to respond to the truth. We need to obey the truth of the gospel. And when we do that, when we accept what Jesus did for us on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, then that brings about a change of mind, a change of attitude in our mind and in our soul that says, I want to turn away from this life of running from God, and I want to draw very close to Him. And when you and I were willing to do that, when we repented of that kind of life, when we were willing to confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we were baptized into Christ, then just like it says here that we've been purified by obeying the truth, God is the one that raised us up, and he raised us up through the word that was preached to us. Okay, so that's how we have to humbly accept it with a humility that comes from realizing that we're dead in sin, and that without God's grace and without God's power, we would still be entangled and tied up in and indebted to sin. And so Peter reminds them that it was through that word that was preached to them. And then he goes on to say in chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. That's the same kind of thing that James is saying back here in chapter 1. He's saying, listen, this is what the Lord has done for us, and so we need to rid ourselves of all of these things, and we need to keep responding to his word that was planted in us. in 1 John chapter 2, John, as he's writing the church, he gives the church this overall attitude that will help us in doing both of these things. He says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, do not love the world or anything in the world. Okay, now this isn't talking about the physical, literal world. Okay, it's talking about the things that are in the world that are antagonistic or go cross-grain against God's will and God's character. Okay, and he'll explain it here. He says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, Jesus said on his Sermon on the Mount, you can't serve two masters. Okay, so you can't love the evil and the filth and the ungodliness of the world, the things that cause people to sin, the things that ruin people's lives. Okay, you can't love those things and then love God at the same time. So he says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The cravings, the evil desires, the wanting to do evil, the thinking of it and plotting and scheming, trying to come up with wicked things to do and things that are going to hurt and harm people. That's the cravings of sinful man and the lust of his eyes. Just everything that he has, he wants, whether it's physical property, whether it's people, whether it's whatever it is, the lust of his eyes, everything he sees, he wants. And the boasting of what he has and does, you know, proud, arrogant, just spewing off all kinds of, I'm so good and I'm better than everybody else. That's just the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world. Okay, so do you understand those two different attitudes? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, that's the world. But the love of the Father is far different. And here's the ultimate consequence, verse 17. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Okay, there again, two choices set before us, two consequences. If we choose to love the world, we're going to pass away. Life is over and done. There is no life outside of Christ. There is just death, which is a separation from God. And so the world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God, in other words, as James would say it, this is the man who humbly accepts the word planted in him, which can save him. And then not only does he just listen to the word, he puts the word of God into practice in his life. He responds to the word of God. He does what the word of God says. He does the will of God. That man has the hope that he will live forever. I'll tell you what, that is a blessed hope, and it's one that we should never disdain. So that's kind of an overall attitude. Let's go back to Romans and look at this same kind of attitude in what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, he is talking about in Romans 13, starting in verse 8, that we are to allow no debt to remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. And all of the commandments, all of the rules are all summed up in this, that love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. And so Paul says, we need to love one another. And he says in verse 11, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay, so there again, there's that same idea that that we need to be people that love one another and not do things that are going to harm one another. We're to humbly accept the word planted in us, which can save us, but then we're also to not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh, and we need to behave decently. We need to put aside the deeds of darkness and walk as children of light, okay? Because that's God's will and not just our own. Let me give you one just real practical thing real quick from the book of Job. Job chapter 31 and verse 1, and this is especially for us guys, although women even today too tend to do this as well. But in Job 31 and verse 1, Job says, "I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl." See, there's a righteous man who's saying, "I'm going to do this on purpose. I'm not going to look lustfully at a girl." All right, and so that's just one specific example. Hey, let's go ahead and listen to our last song this morning. This is a song by Josh Wilson called "Savior, Please." In other words, keep saving me. Help me to keep the right attitude. Let's listen to Josh Wilson sing "Savior, Please."
Savior, please. Take my hand. I work so hard. I live so fast. This life begins and then it ends, and I do the best that I can, but I don't know how long. So hard, I fade so fast. Will you begin right where I end and be the God of all I am? Because you're all.
Try to be so tough, but I'm just not strong enough.
All right, we're almost to the end of our broadcast this morning, but thanks so much for listening. I hope this has challenged you and encouraged you to live a life that's pleasing to God and shun evil in your life. You can do it. I can do it with God's help if we'll let him. And so let's be people that do that. Hey, we'd sure love to get to know you a little bit better. The Church of Las Vegas meets at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And so you can come visit with us on Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and also Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We have a Bible study and prayer time. So we'd love to get to know you personally during those times when the church meets. Also, you can go on our website, thechurchatlasvegas.com. thechurchatlasvegas.com, and find out more about us there. You can listen to old broadcasts. There's videos of sermon messages that have been preached here in the past, and just really want to encourage you to check us out that way too. Have a great week. I hope you just have a really good week this week. Keep seeking the Lord. Keep shunning evil. Keep letting the word planted in you save you. Be a person that honors God. Hey, thanks so much for listening. Keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.